Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
What's happening? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean with Ryan and JJ.
Hello.
What's up?
All right. This is the first of our draft preview series here. April 10th. Draft is coming up in 2.5 weeks. If you're interested in this type of stuff, please remember to like and subscribe, rate and review. Appreciate you all listening. Subscribers help us a lot. And we just can't wait to share all of our draft insights or low sights. I don't know. I mean, it's such a crapshoot. Every time you think you figure it out, you're like, oh, I think this is going to work out perfectly. And then the guy plays like garbage for 2 years. But before we get into that, we need to recap free agency. So the Patriots had, we had all kinds of high expectations, $100 million of cap space going into it. They end up basically re-signing the important players, which we were worried they weren't going to do. They did that almost across the board. A little bit of addition by subtraction. Devontae Parker gets moved on. Trent Brown is out the door. Mac Jones traded. J.C. Jackson cut. They bring in a quarterback that could play on week one. Not saying he's going to be above average, but Jacoby Brissett could be a day one starter, and you could have a serviceable offensive unit that way. But they didn't make any of the splashes. They nibbled here and there, and we'll touch on some of those guys. Mm-hmm. But Ryan, how do you feel in general about how the Patriots went through phase one, phase two of free agency?
I was generally happy with it. You know, they kept the talent in house, which they haven't been doing the last, you know, 5 years, I would say. Re-signing guys off their rookie deals. They haven't really had a lot of rookies that deserved to be re-signed. You know, there's a couple of guys out the door, but to keep Hunter Henry was the first step where, you know, you kind of lock up that tight end. Gesicki's out the door. Tight end's a tough one, you know, because it's not a good tight end class in free agency and in the draft. That was a big move to make that deal. 3 years, $27 million. The biggest one was on Winu. And we all kind of agreed on that coming in. To keep him in the building as a right tackle, I mean, that's huge. Is a guy that legitimately, you know, upper echelon player, you know, wherever you want to rank him. But to have him stay at what I think he's like 26 years old, they gave him a good contract. To have him stay is a big one. Jacoby Brissett on a bridge contract, seemingly 1 year, $8 million. That's fine. You know, start him the first 8-10 games. You could let whoever you draft, which we all assume we're drafting a quarterback, time to learn, time to bet in. So yeah, I mean, KJ Osborne, Kendrick Bourne is returning. Kyle Duggar got transition tagged. Didn't want to sign that deal. They signed him to a 4-year, $58 million extension. Eventually, $32.5 million guaranteed. A little bit much, but again, you're keeping your homegrown talent in. And I think the most surprising one from just retaining players was Josh Uche.
At that number.
At that number, 1 year.
1 year.
$3 million, max value of $8 million. That feels a little bit low for him. I would think he would have gotten a better deal elsewhere, but he said he wanted to be here, and great. You know, we'll take it, because I think the upside with him, even if you just use him as an edge rusher, you'd like to see him more on first and second down. But to bring him back on that deal,
it's surprising he didn't get more.
That's an A+ as far as I'm
concerned.
That's
an A+. I would have thought his base was 8 with escalations up to 12, and it ended up being 8 being his max. James, the mustachio, for those everybody that's watching this is getting a treat right now. Mr. Luigi
Mario,
Mario, you're definitely there.
Wear Ryan's red hat.
Yeah, it all fits. James, takeaways from free agency. I want to touch on some of the guys they brought in afterwards, but in terms of overall picture, how do you feel about it?
Just over, well, I'll it'll all go together with that, what you just said. I mean, I was happy that they brought a lot of guys back. We had, especially the last couple of years with Belichick, it seemed like they didn't give any homegrown guys big contracts. That could have been because of the drafting, that no one really deserved it. I mean, we saw their guys get traded for less than market value occasionally and stuff like that and get big contracts elsewhere, some working out, some not. But it was, you know, it was good to see Duggar come back on the transition and just get signed recently, even though it was a, you know, fairly big contract. Hunter Henry, he was a captain. Ryan alluded to Owenu, which was a big one. Now right tackle, at least seemingly, is shored up there. I liked seeing, you know, Chris Board be released. Devontae Parker, they moved on from him. Austin Hooper was an outside talent that seems a little interesting, but just overall, I like that they brought Jennings back, Anthony Jennings. I thought he played really well last year.
A good deal, too.
Especially in the last half, right? Real good, so easy deal, kind of like Uche. Could have got more on the free market, the open market. But, you know, it was very disappointing from a standpoint of what they brought in from the outside, because especially from what we were hearing from the organization, Kraft saying, oh, we're going to spend money, you know, it was Bill Belichick. Who doesn't want to spend money? It wasn't us. And it's like, well, it's your money. How does that, why, you know, why does Bill care? But anyways, okay, let's see what you do without Bill. And then, you know, all this odd stuff with Elliot Wolf is, you know, has final say, but we don't know if he's the GM or if Jonathan Kraft is making the final decisions and stuff like that. You know, something that Mayo walked back eventually was, oh, you know, we're here to spend money. We have money to spend. And then he kind of walked that back a little bit, back to Elliot Wolf. We're going to weaponize the offense. It was kind of an offshoot comment somewhere, but it's like, he said that and you're like, oh, okay. From our perception as fans, they're going to spend a little money because they have a ton of cap room and they have to spend a certain amount to get over the 4-year NFL floor or whatever. There's a spending floor, right? Over a 4-year period where they, you know, teams have to spend a certain amount, and the Patriots have been dangerously low the last couple of years. No surprise there. And then we're going to spend it. We need an explosive offense. We're going to go out and get that. And there was deals to be had. There was, you know, we lost out on Calvin Ridley. We offered him 20. He goes to Tennessee because they offered him more guaranteed money. They don't have taxes in Tennessee like they have in Massachusetts. Haven't heard that one in 30 years. Yeah, I know, right. It is, but it's like, it's a real, you haven't factor. Heard that one before, have you? You know,
it's a 5% bump on their salary. I mean, that's significant.
Okay.
At least
put that in the contract. If the guy's like, hey, you know what? I'd come to you except for the taxes. It's like, all right, give them the 5%. you work with these guys.
Now. Yeah. It's a legitimate,
but it's like,
concern.
That's a concern. Like, that's how much we have to, you know, taxes are the issue now. We have to worry about signing guys because of taxes. I don't know. And then
he didn't want to be. He probably didn't want to be here.
He got a lot more guaranteed than we'd expect. Yeah. But, you know, you see Stephon Diggs go to the Texans, who we'll probably talk about in a sec briefly. Not that I really cared for Stephon Diggs that Buffalo would get, you know, send him to us. But T. Higgins is up. You know, you're hearing stuff about the 49ers receivers there who are very talented, that they're, you know, they don't want to get, the Niners don't want to pay them. Like, there's deals to be made. There's things to be had. There were players, and we end up with Austin Hooper and KJ Osborne, who are, you know, bargain barrel guys. And you think, oh, well, back in 2001, and, you know, in some of these years, we would go and we'd get, you know, we built some teams through free agency, and that's great and everything. And I would like to do that, but we didn't do that. We have the same team as last year, plus a couple of third, fourth string guys.
Yeah, I would point out that 2001 free agency wasn't star-studded. It was just a lot of serviceable starter level players.
There were a lot of names. You brought in a lot of guys.
But they didn't have names before they got here.
No, I know.
Mike Vrabel did not have a name.
No, but they brought in a ton of people. That's all I'm saying. They brought in a lot of outside guys.
Okay, let's talk about some of the outside guys. And what I would like to do is for you guys to tell me who you're most excited about. So they got this guy, Okorafor, who is a tackle from the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He's got the right measurables. They played him a lot as a third tight end. He got a number of starts at both tackle positions. Low number, actually signed up before free agency started. Leverett at guard, I believe, comes over with some starting level experience. KJ Osborne, who I know Ryan likes. I like Taki Taki, the linebacker from the Browns. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's here. Hint. He's the one I'm most excited about. Austin Hooper, Antonio Gibson at running back, Armin Watts at defensive tackle. Some of the guys that they brought in around, those are those low level guys. I don't think any of them is making more than $5 million a year. And one thing that I did notice about the players that we re-signed and the players we got from outside, not including the tight end position, everybody else, mid-20s, probably almost all of them, their second contract. It's like they're saying, okay, our window is not right now, clearly, with this roster.
The Patriots.
Our window is, No. The Patriots window is years from now. So we're not going to sign. I know they went after Calvin Ridley. He's going to be 30 this year. There's a number of the big names that we would have been big splashes are guys that are honestly going to be aged out by the time this team is any good enough to compete. Mm-hmm. So they focused on guys in their mid-20s who are going to be still in their prime 3 years from now. That list of the guys that they brought in from outside, I may have missed a couple people as well. But
yeah,
Taki Taki, love that.
So dude. I like Sione Taki Taki. But I think the one I'm most excited about that they brought in is Okorafor. There's a lot of untapped talent there. There's potential there. But I think what I'm most excited about is the one we didn't get, and we were aggressive in it, which is Calvin Ridley. And the reports were out there that we were, you know, we put a really good offer out there, and we probably had the second best offer. So that tells me that they are trying their best within reason to get, you know, some talent here to weaponize the offense. As they said, they failed, but that money will transfer over to next year, and next year's free agent class for wide receivers is absolutely silly. You're talking guys like CD Lamb, Jamar Chase is going to get re-signed, of course.
A couple of them get re-signed, but it is a lot of talent.
Yeah. So,
I mean, but what was I going to say? You know, it's tough going into the offseason when we were, four-win team last year?
Yep.
Coming out of free agency with, I'm seeing numbers between, you know, around $50 million in cap space. I'm seeing 46, I'm seeing 52. I don't know what the number is exactly, but $50 million. And you go, even if one of these guys is a grand slam, say one of them hits, we hit a home run on one of them, does it really move the needle that much on any of these guys? No. Jacoby Brissett, he'll probably start. I'm curious to see what he has to offer. I'm not really. I mean, maybe he gets you another win or two over the season last year. Maybe gets you to six wins over four. I mean, especially with this roster.
I mean, if you're excited about Brissett, then
that's a tough one.
Resigned yourself to mediocrity.
And it's, and I know, Ryan has mentioned Okorafor at tackle. But he's kind of unproven. We had such an issue at left tackle last year, and the other guys on the roster are Wheatley, Vidarian Lowe. You know, no one have a lot of confidence in.
Calvin
Anderson, just a list of guys we're not confident in. And we go into this draft needing, and I know we have draft capital, we go in needing a quarterback, as well as a left tackle and a top-end receiver. And that was what we said coming out of free agency. I think we were all in agreement that before free agency happened, that they need to come out with one of these positions, and we didn't expect it to be the quarterback. We expected, they tried Calvin Ridley. He's more of a number two, but it's like, they're not going to hit on all three. They'll be lucky to hit on one. If they hit on two, that's like one of the best drafts any team ever has in their entire history, hitting on a quarterback and a tackle or quarterback receiver, whatever the combination is. And now we go in. So it's like coming out of the draft, we're going to have still a massive hole or two on the roster. And that's what freaks me out. It's like, we just know going into the season, Jesus, they're fucked there. We haven't had to deal with that.
You could make the argument too, with the outgoings that we're actually worse now than we were before.
Yeah, without Trent Brown.
With Trent Brown leaving, I mean, Brissett, Mac Jones, toss up, Brissett is more stable, as far as like a decision making going through the progressions. He's not going
to hang on to the ball.
He's not going to kill you. Yeah, he's not going to, throw some of the ridiculous things that Mac
he's not
going to
throw pick sixes all over the field. Maybe he does, but it's not as big of a deal.
You did get a couple picks back with Mac Jones and Devontae Parker leaving. I think addition by subtraction there. You know, it's tough, man. This is
the only
definitely a transition, and I'm happy we re-signed the good players that we did have, because if we didn't, we would be in absolute shambles right now, the worst team in the league.
Oh, yeah.
The Panthers have set the floor very low.
Yeah, well, that's true. But we needed to show that we would re-sign guys, and I'm happy they at least did that. I mean, it was almost to the nth degree where it's like we re-signed everybody we could, which is cool that some of these guys wanted to come back and play for Mayo. You know, that's a good sign.
I mean,
but I also,
was there anybody you're disappointed that they re-signed?
No, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed.
No, I'm pretty stoked about
all. I'd say
all
it's
them.
All fine. I mean,
they got everybody except Mac Wilson from the guys that
which
I
was Sione fine Taki with. Taki is probably an upgrade.
It kind of takes over.
He's
there,
upgrade.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they dished out a lot of money quick, but I'm fine with it, especially because we have $50 million. I would have loved to see them bring in one of those veteran tackles. And I know, you know, I think Donovan Smith's still out there, but Tyrone Smith goes to the Jets. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank from the Bengals.
Morgan,
he went somewhere.
Oh,
he signed.
Jonah Williams.
Jonah
Williams. He got signed up by someone. And those, it wasn't like, you know, huge. I mean, they're good contracts and they're big, and those guys might not work out, but it would at least been like, okay, you have someone that can start at left tackle, has shown they can start there, and you don't have to worry about that as much of the draft. Now you can draft someone in third or fourth round and try and develop them, as opposed to be like, well, we have to take a third rounder on them and they have to be a starter if Okafor doesn't work out, which is could be a jump.
It's
nerve wracking.
I know. I feel those nerves. The one thing that I feel like is a through line to everything they did was they're maintaining. It's kind of Elliot Wolf talked a lot about the Packer model. And one of the things they do is they draft and develop. And
it's all I've heard about.
Yeah. One of the ways that they develop them,
the Packer
model. Well, let me finish. One of the keys to doing that is saving playing time for the guys to develop on the field. So they didn't put in a bunch of placeholders. Like, one of the reasons I think they got rid of Devontae Parker was because he was taking up play time. Maybe he's a little bit better than 100%. Tyquan Thornton or somebody else, but you get him out of the building. Now we have 200 extra snaps a year that somebody can develop into. Same thing could go for the offensive line. Now, I still think that we should sign one of the guys that are available that are in their 30s to play tackle, because
I agree it's too
risky to throw any quarterback behind that, and it's going to impair your running game. It's going to totally fuck up the whole offense. So there's a couple guys. David Bakhtiari is out there. So many injuries.
He played last year, did he? Yep.
He played one game last year. He played 13 the year before, 3 the year before that. Hasn't played much.
But when he plays, he's dominant.
Yeah, well, I was thinking more in like a mentor level. Like, you don't expect to get a full season out of him.
As far as tackle,
if he could be there, to play tackle. Andres Pete has played mostly guard. He was a left tackle at Stanford, but he's out there. You mentioned Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith has played on really good teams for the last 6 years. I don't expect him to come to this team.
Donovan Smith really doesn't have any. I don't understand what's going on. When you like look at anything about what's going on with him, there's nothing.
Well, I think he contemplated retirement a couple times in Tampa.
Is that what it is?
He's one of those guys that is like, you kind of got to beg him to play. Kansas City is lurking out there needing a left tackle, because Donovan Smith was their left tackle last year. So anybody that we're going to try to be like, hey, come play left tackle for us, they're going to call Kansas City and be like, I would much rather play for you guys.
I think an under the radar one, which we haven't seen much of, is Connor Williams. The Dolphins tackle there that missed the whole 2023 season with the ACL, or missed late season with the ACL. He's a pretty decent player. He's 27 years old. I might take a chance on bringing him in, but it seems like the Pats kind of like Okorafor, Chucks, you know, so
might.
In the draft, maybe
still draft somebody, definitely.
And I mean, these are all positions that are in need that the draft is stocked with. You know, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive tackle. Yeah. This draft is as good as I've ever seen in those
positions. We're going to preview the quarterbacks later on. Yeah. We got a couple things to tie up with free agency. One of them is, at this point, there are a lot of big names still out there. Justin Simmons mm-hmm. is kicking out there. Xavien Howard. Emmanuel Ogba, who had been good, not so good recently. Jamal Adams is only 28. I know he's not great, but he's 28 years old. Eddie Jackson's sitting out there. Adoree Jackson.
Yep.
Defensive backs are there.
Stephon Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore.
Gilmore's still out there. Yeah.
I would love to have Gilmore. He's age 33 season. You know, have him.
He'd be great to sit down with
Christian Gonzalez. Teach him a little bit. You know, I love that.
Be fantastic. And we could use a boundary cornerback. I think they would come right in. Yep. So a lot of those guys are out there. Why don't we touch on some of the other teams? Big moves in the AFC East, particularly. Maybe we'll just start nibbling at some of those teams. Then we'll talk about which teams we think had the best offseason so far. The Bills. Mm-hmm. We got to start with the Bills. They've been running the division for 5 years now. And the bill finally came due, no pun intended. They end up, they dished out that huge contract for Von Miller like 2 years ago. Feel like the cascading events that have come out of that, they got to watch. They sent Stephon Diggs packing. They ended up taking a $30 million plus dead cap hit for him. Gabe Davis is in Jacksonville right now. Who else did they lose? They lost so many people. They lost a couple guys on defense, didn't they? Oh, Tre'Davious White, they had to cut.
Their whole secondary is gone.
Oh, yeah. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde,
they're all gone.
Completely different team now.
They just signed Poyer last year, too, or year, 2 years ago. It's like they just gave
last year
him a contract.
It was 3 or 4 years, and then see you later.
I mean, It seems like they're trying to move on. And they're like realizing that they're a little too old, but I don't know. They gave away Stephon Diggs for like a freaking bag of rocks, second round pick 2025, which is a third round pick this year.
Yep.
He just wanted out. They took him out.
Dead cap on top.
And they
of
took
all that.
The bath. Yeah. So, but they save a lot of money next year. I don't know that it's kind of surprising seeing that. I mean, I was most impressed with who they traded to, which is the Texans. Texans have made some big moves bringing in Diggs. I'm sure he has something left to offer. They got Hunter, that edge rusher from Minnesota, who's awesome. They brought in Joe Mixon from Cincinnati. They got a bunch of defensive players. Jeff Okuda, I don't know if he's got a lot left in the tank, but he was a high draft pick.
Yeah,
they're trending in the right direction there. They're looking pretty good. I also like what the Steelers did at quarterback. I wish we took a page out of the Steelers quarterback book. I know a lot of people weren't pumped about that, but getting Russell Wilson for $1 million basically and no compensation, and then bringing in Fields from Chicago for a sixth round pick.
I think it was a sixth rounder.
But the same as Mac Jones.
Conditional like, sixth. Or is it conditional,
conditional
fifth? It was a seventh to a fifth,
right,
depending on playing time.
I mean, they're paying nothing in the quarterback room, and they've got two guys that I'd argue are better than anyone we've got on our roster right now. I mean, that'll change at the end of April, but hopefully.
Yeah, but Jacoby Brissett's a great culture guy. Great culture guy.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson
that's all
is
hear.
The opposite.
Oh, I know. But Justin Fields, I would have liked to take a flyer on him. I mean, we kind of all wanted him during that draft. It's kind of who I thought we were going to get.
For the price, I thought it was outstanding for them to bring him in.
Right.
And then Russell Wilson for what, like the league minimum, you know?
Yeah.
They shipped out Kenny Pickett. You can't lose.
They did pretty well there.
And they shipped Kenny Pickett 2 years. Like, that's like us shipping out Mac Jones before last season. It would have been a little controversial, but it probably Bill wouldn't have got fired in the way he did or wouldn't have mutually left in the way he did if he didn't have to deal with Mac.
I want to just transition back to the Bills. I think they got significantly worse. Getting rid of Diggs.
They lost a lot of talent, man.
Getting rid of Diggs. They lost Tre'Davious White.
Secondary.
Who's a safety there? Did they lose
Micah Hyde? Jordan Pyre, both gone.
That's insane. I mean, those guys are premier players, you know? I know they're a little bit getting older, but that's a lot of talent to lose in one offseason, you know? So
it's a lot of leaders.
I think the
too.
AFC East is wide open. I think the Jets got better, bringing in Mike Williams for a year. They signed two tackles, Moses and Tyron Smith, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, really kind of shoring up that offensive line. I think, well, they lost Mekhi Becton, but I think they still probably need to draft either. I mean, Brock
and he
Bowers,
was terrible
makes sense,
for them too.
But I think they probably need to. No, but I mean, they need to. They need to bring in some youth on that offensive line. Mm-hmm. Besides, yeah. I mean, they got Tippmann and Vera Tucker, but that's about it. I mean, for long-term success, and you know, I think they're really focused on short-term success right now. The Jets.
Because, oh yeah, everybody's over 30 that they're bringing
in. Steelers. I forgot. Steelers also brought in Patrick Queen, the linebacker.
He got paid. He got serious dough.
Crazy.
As far as teams that, in Pittsburgh.
As far as teams that I think did really well, how about the Titans? You know?
Titans did a lot. I mean, but I feel like they always kind of spend a lot and then it never really gestates for them because they have so many holes. Like they have holes on the offensive
Texans
line. Their quarterback's so weird. It's like
let's go over it. Let's go over it. They brought in Mason Rudolph as a backup to Will Levis. They brought in Tony Pollard to pair with Tyjae Spears. They have Calvin Ridley and Westbrook Akine, and they're going to, you know, couple those guys with Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins. That's a pretty good receiving core.
Yeah,
it is.
Lloyd Cushenberry, the center they brought in. They still need help on the offensive line. Kenneth Murray they signed as a linebacker from the
Love
Chargers. Fantastic
always
talent. Jadobe Awuzie, who was really good with the Bengals as a corner. And they traded for Le'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah. They
bulked up big time.
They spent
pretty
serious.
Good.
They got Sneed from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
Sneed.
That.
Yeah. So
he's a good player.
I mean, they're pretty decent everywhere except for tackle.
And they got a top 10
quarterback.
Pick.
Yeah. And they drafted. And quarterback. Who was the kid last year? Skoronski.
I'm not a fan of their quarterback room.
I know. They're doing the whole thing. Let's build a really good team and then let's see if we can get a quarterback to elevate.
I don't know about that, dude. I think that they might believe in Will Levis. Will Levis is a talented guy. And
they might. I think they do, but
he showed flashes last year, and if he's got time and protection, which
that's what it was,
never had before. He didn't have it at Kentucky. He didn't have it last year. He's got a ton of guys to throw to. If you could shore up that offensive line, he's got big potential. Still, Will Levis has big potential, and he showed flashes. So, I think that's
one of
the
game winning drive last year, midseason. Yeah. I can't remember what team, but
that's a good receiving core, and a good running back core with Pollard and Spears. So,
yeah, they could use a bruiser to match with those guys.
They lost Derrick Henry though. That's crazy. Derrick Henry
he went
going
to the
Ravens.
We didn't even talk about that. Oh,
Derrick
God,
Henry going to the Ravens is fucking scary.
Everyone up for 8 games. Nobody's going to know what to do for the first 8 games.
That's powerful.
They either beat you with speed with Lamar and who's the kid from ECU? I forgot his name.
They get another legit
like
receiver. They get someone for Lamar to throw with to pair with Zay Flowers. Holy shit, they're going to be tough to deal with.
Yeah, they're looking pretty stacked. The Lions, I just want to touch on the Lions. I feel like, well, this time of year, teams that spend a ton of money, it looks really good on paper. Lots of times doesn't work out. It's the whole story of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They did it again this year. The Lions, I thought were pretty picky and choosy about what they did. They picked up some nice players. DJ Reader, defensive tackle.
Good
also
player.
Defensive tackles and guards got paid out the wazoo.
Yeah.
Chris Jones, number one on that, $31 million a year. Marcus Davenport on the edge never really has found his game, but at $6 million, it's really not bad for an edge rusher with those traits. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I've always been a fan of his. You know, they just right? kind of, yeah, he produces it. They just kind of nibbled around here. They were mm-hmm. picky and choosy about it. I think Reeders is a really good player. He's kind of their splash.
Yes.
But they're building strength on strength with that team, filling out those defensive tackles. They already got two good ones, and now they add another one to the mix. Falcons and Buccaneers are apparently committed to mediocrity. They're paying stupid money to Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield, respectively.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Dial it back there a little bit.
I think the Falcons are going to be 10-7 for the next 3 years.
The Falcons with Zach Robinson coaching that thing, right? And Rondale Moore, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, good offensive line, Kirk Cousins. That's pretty good, dude. That's pretty good. They got some pieces there, man. And
they do, but everyone's been saying it for a long time about them.
Their offense is going to be crazy.
Yeah. Well, we did see the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne and Dalvin Cook when he was good.
And what happened?
And
he got crushed in the playoffs.
Yeah, just it's a 10-17.
Looking at that personnel on the Falcons offense.
And did he just tear his Achilles or something?
Ooh. Yeah, he's coming off an Achilles. Kirk, and he's 35. Kirk
Cousins. Dude, he's going to suck this year.
I wouldn't say suck. He's going to be good. I'm 10-7. It's not bad.
No.
Easy
but,
money.
But you're
he's finally
just
over for him.
You're just not getting up to that 49er,
yeah,
Detroit
but,
Lions,
dude,
Eagles. You're not getting up to that run.
I really like
Kirk
that.
Kirk Cousins historically freaks out into pressure. You throw pressure at him. That was every playoff game. It's just like you blitz the house and he falls apart.
Well,
I
mean, we're not talking about them like going to the Super Bowl. We're talking
that's
about
what,
them
that's what
I know. I'm not
what
saying,
I'm saying
well,
is,
what
is
I'm
you
saying
can't
is,
win the Super Bowl with either one of those quarterbacks. Is what
maybe
I'm
not.
Saying.
But
you are over.
That's a good team now.
They're good around
that's
him.
What I mean, they're above
significantly
average.
Better.
Significantly better.
You guys are overlooking an Achilles injury for a 35-year-old quarterback. That's devastating. I think that's it.
He's never been
he's
that
over.
Mobile.
Rodgers is 41, come back from an Achilles. How do the Jets
Let's
feel
see
about
what
it?
He does too.
Yeah.
They're the Jets. They're going to hook on to anything
they
can.
Got Heineke and Ridder, right? It's not like the
Yeah, they're still paying Heineke
so many
pretty
fucking
good money.
Weapons there. There's protection. They got decent pieces on defense with
they're losers. They'll always be losers.
Fully expect the Falcons to win that division.
Dude,
fully expect
the Falcons
it.
Are the best team in that division.
That's
by
not
fucking
that. Sadly, that's not saying much. That's saying much. Baker might have something to say
point.
About that, though.
Maybe the last one I would bring up as far as teams that I think did really well in free agency was the Commanders.
They did, yeah.
Mariota they brought in. They brought in Austin Eckler.
That's a good segue.
Two-year deal. Crowder, Zaccheaus, Zach Ertz, Allegretti, Biotish, the center from the Cowboys. Good player.
Yeah, good player. Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner.
Jeremy Chin.
Jeremy Chin. Like,
Jeremy Chin's been injured, right, for like 2 years now, hasn't he?
He's been getting, I don't know if they like forgot how to use him in Carolina. He was
something
a
happened.
99%
I mean,
snap
sucked.
Guy for 2 years, and then he went down to like 50%.
Some of those guys are really good players, man. And
Dante Fowler.
You know, I'm looking at
not crazy players. Money at any of these positions either. They just kind of fortified their team.
Mariota's a nice little bridge. He's a good bridge quarterback, you know.
And it's a good bridge for this conversation because we're going to be talking about quarterbacks in the top three here pretty quick.
Yes, sir. I like what the Commanders did. I like what the Titans did. I like what the Falcons did.
These are all shit teams. I mean, we'll see what actually happens.
Oh, the mustache,
you know,
raining on
the
parade. The
Commanders, the Titans. It's like down to the dreg teams with us. Yeah, everyone that spent money because they had tons of cap space.
Ebbs and flows,
money.
Dude. So it changes all the time. And
yeah, we're going to suck too.
Under the radar.
We get over 7 wins, I'll be shocked.
And we didn't really even talk about the Bears. How about the Bears bringing in Keenan Allen
for a third
round?
Oh,
yeah, that was Dude, that was see, like, why didn't we do that? I get it. I get
and
what
they
you're
got
saying,
the first
Granny.
And ninth. And they got
like,
you know,
this isn't our window, but they crushed it. They could have got more for I can't believe they didn't get more for Fields too. They could have got more for him.
Maybe
no,
they couldn't.
Have. They couldn't have.
I think they took the best deal they
I guess
could.
Not, right.
I think they would have gotten more if they could have gotten more.
Yeah.
It's weird because it, like, publicly he seemed like he was going to go for a lot more and the league was all like,
dude,
fuck that.
Caleb Williams
might get a fifth.
Caleb Williams with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen to start.
DeAndre Swift in the backfield.
DeAndre
Cole Kmet.
Swift.
In between his hissy fits. We'll see.
Not too shabby. And they have nine.
Do you need to have
two.
A Snickers bar?
What if they get a Dunze at nine?
Probably. I haven't had
they
dinner.
Might. They might.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They're going to.
Would you say,
probably.
Ryan, missed it?
What if they get a Dunze at nine? Roma Dunze at nine. I don't know if he'll drop that far. Oof.
I don't know if they would spend it on that position, given that they just invested so much in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. But ooh,
no,
that'd
they
be
don't
fun.
Need him at that.
I love the idea
awful,
of them
so
drafting.
Left tackle.
I love the idea. Well, they just drafted Darnell Williams last year from Tennessee.
Yeah. No? I thought he was more of a right tackle.
I did too. Yeah. I did too. I agree. But imagine if they move nine and get another first round pick next year plus their pick.
That, like, that sounds like the plan.
That's
keep it going.
That's a great fucking deal, man. And
yeah, trade back
I mean,
to 20.
They are accumulating assets like crazy. They're doing that GM there, Ryan Poles, is, I think he's doing a really good job. You know, like,
now he fucked up a bunch of times already. I mean, Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes, that's a big fuck up.
Yeah, that'll stick with you.
You know,
it happens. And then he did it again with Fields. They traded two first round picks to draft Fields.
I like Fields. You know, I think it's not an exact science, and we're going to get into this because I think this is really good transition. It's not an exact science. You take the guys with the high upside, and you don't bet on the high floor. You bet on the high ceiling. You know,
we're hearing that a lot. This high floor. Who has the highest floor? That was the Mac Jones. Mac Jones had the highest floor of that draft. Look what happened. Nothing.
Well, they didn't do him any
favors. 10 wins out of him. No.
Over 3 years. Well, no. In year one, he had 10 wins. 11 wins, I think. Okay, let's transition. Let's talk about this 2024 QB draft class. Every single year, it is, who are the quarterbacks? Who are the quarterbacks? Let's make a huge deal about it. And honestly, probably half the years, it's not that impressive. It's like, you guys should stop talking about the quarterbacks. This year, I think this year it's actually a really good class. I think there's definitely two tiers. Where they're the guys that are going to go probably 1, 2, 3 in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got sneaky JJ McCarthy sitting there. And then, there's tier two, which is between 3 or 4 guys, depending on who you are. So tier one, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May is how most people think about it. Tier two, JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, maybe Spencer Rattler sneaking in there, with JJ McCarthy being that in that in-between space between tier one and tier two. And it depends
He's
on
really risen in the past month.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
His agent it's is really doing crazy. Fantastic work because he's getting
whatever
tremendous publicity. So Bears, Commanders, Patriots, top of the draft board. One of the clues I was looking for, and it's kind of seems like it's playing out in the press right now. It seems like most people are thinking, okay, Caleb Williams is going one. Commanders are most likely taking Jaden Daniels at two. It's what Adam Schefter said. But I was looking for clues previously, and when the Commanders signed Marcus Mariota and the Patriots signed Jacoby Brissett, it was like, who does Mariota look like in the draft class? He looks like Jaden Daniels. Who does Brissett look like? More like Drake May than any of those top three guys. It's like,
so?
Oh,
okay.
You don't think? What do you think? Mariota's 6'4" and runs? That's
I don't know.
Daniels.
I don't think. Yeah. No. I agree with that one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
who does Brissett look like to those
nobody.
Three guys? Well,
none
he looks most like Drake May because Drake May is
like
the slowest guy. Yeah. So I don't know where we want to start with this.
I think there's a big six here. You know, I think we're all consensus. We know what the big six is. We could maybe start from 10 back. I would say, you know, some combination of Joe Milton, Michael Pratt,
Jordan Travis.
I don't like Jordan Travis at all.
I don't like him either, but in respect to what he did at Florida State, I thought he was tremendous at Florida State. I just don't think it translates.
Yeah, and Sam Hartman maybe in that mix. I just don't see a path for most of those guys. I see Joe Milton and Spencer Rattler like being right outside that top six, you know, as far as guys that have traits that could translate. I think with Joe Milton that scares me is he can't read shit as far as defense. he's a one progression guy.
Yeah, a
huge arm, and the arm is something that you can't, you know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
But he's already older. He's 24. You know, I just think there's a big cap on that ceiling right there. So if you want to take him later on as kind of a, I mean, it sucks to be a developmental quarterback at 24 years old. That is appealing, I guess. Spencer Rattler to me is outside the top six, the most appealing because he's a little bit younger, tremendous arm talent. But
I do like Rattler,
but a bad decision maker. And you saw it at Oklahoma. He transferred to South Carolina. He had some good success there, but you know, it was a lot of the same themes coming up that he had at Oklahoma where, you know, what are you looking at there? Why do you throw that pass? You know, he's a little reckless. He can move a little bit. To me, outside the top six, Spencer Rattler, as far as just pure, you know, traits and athleticism is the guy to gamble on. And I think he's a third round.
I agree.
We're talking about third round pick.
I got him in the third. Also, one thing about Spencer Rattler, well, two things. First, number one recruit in the country coming out of high school. He's always had these traits. People have been identifying him for a while. And number two is he is the only quarterback in this class that fits, actually one of two quarterbacks, that fits Bill Parcells' checklist for quarterbacks. The other one being Jaden Daniels. They need to be a college graduate. This is according to Bill Parcells. College graduate, a senior, a three-year starter, have a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, have won 23 games, started 30 games, and have a 60% completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a pretty low bar, and a lot of it is because you see underclassmen come out, and I guess Parcells was against underclassmen. But yeah, it's another check mark there for Spencer Rattler. If you go back, this checklist is actually pretty good. If you go back and see who was a bust and who wasn't. So I think we're all in agreement. Spencer Rattler's number seven on the list.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. You know, there's maybe some argument for Michael Pratt. You know, he got injured and he was never the same. Maybe he's still working through that. But I think even Michael Pratt, like, has limitations, you know, as far as arm talent and just our arm talent is important, and it's not just velocity. It's placement, it's accuracy, it's, you know, ability to throw off platform, that kind of thing, and throw it well, you know. So I think a lot of people hear arm talent and they think you're talking about arm strength, and that's not the case. So
no,
right,
that kind of leads me into the next. So group or tier two, JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Again, McCarthy might elevate himself based on our conversation right here. But arm talent, the guy I have in sixth place in this group is Michael Penix. I think he's got phenomenal arm talent. It looks a little bit funky when you, just because it's a lefty. There's something about lefty quarterbacks that you're like, doesn't look quite right. But goddamn, he throws dimes. He might throw the best go route I've seen in like 10 years. Probably since like RG3.
Yeah.
His go routes are phenomenal.
He's got a great arm. He can move around with his legs. He makes pretty damn good decisions. Now, on top of all that, his team was fucking loaded.
That's what,
so you look at some of I'm these concerned. Other people, like, you know, you see Drake May and it's like his team around him sucked. So like, how much does that factor in? That's always an interesting,
I was looking for examples of Penix dealing with pressure. They're hard to find. He's not hard dealing. To find. He's not dealing with pressure very often. No, and when not. He does, very
he's got
mediocre.
Open receivers, and his receivers are open because they're two of the best in the country. So it's like he's got open receivers, and like you said, his offensive line's great. A lot of those guys are going to get drafted this year. I still like him though. I am not against the Patriots trading down and getting him if that's a possibility, and him being the guy they go for it. I mean, he seems like a Jacoby Brissett a little bit, a more talented Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah,
I feel like.
So
he's like a close comparison to that too.
I got
JJ McCarthy moving up the board so quick is fucking with me.
Okay, let's stick on Penix. Right,
let's talk about Penix a little bit. Where I line up on Penix is obviously he played behind the best offensive line in college last year, and I think he's a pocket guy. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. Had I think both knees at Indiana before he transferred. I think he's had a shoulder problem in the past. Now, as far as pure pocket passer, he's the most NFL ready of, I think, everybody in this class. I have him at number 5 ahead of Bo Nix. He's got the arm strength that you want. It's fantastic. It's really very good arm strength. He can throw for distance. He will test the field. Really good at the outside throws. I think his footwork leaves a lot to be desired when things get a little sketchy, which is not much in Washington. You kind of see some of the flaws where like his feet get a little choppy. He throws, you know, kind of off platform, and he loses a lot of accuracy on that. The velocity is fucking out of control. Lefty, which is a little bit weird. I think the mobility for me is the big thing. And I know he tested well at his pro day as far as 40. I think he ran a 4.57 or something like that, really fast. But you didn't see that. But you didn't see that on tape at all, you know? And it's.
He's a pocket passer.
He's a pocket guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a pocket passer.
He's a pocket guy. Yeah.
So he's got that limitation. But yeah, I love him. I love watching him play. I really hope he gets an opportunity at the next level. I worry about what he does under pressure. He can't create very much with his legs to extend plays. And then the injuries scare the fuck out of me. I can't get over it.
Well, that's what it was.
The injuries are
brutal. If it wasn't for the injuries, I think you'd be top 10, I feel like.
I think he's going to get picked in the 20s. I do. I think we're going to see 6 quarterbacks picked in the first round this year. I would not be surprised.
1983, ringing bells.
It's a great quarterback class. And I think in most years, Penix would be talked about in the teens, in the tens, maybe, you know?
Yeah, probably in the teens. I mean, you look back at some of these years, the amount of publicity that Will Levis got last year, the amount that Malik Willis got 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, whenever it was, it's ridiculous. Like, it gets overwhelming. But
the championship Penix game really hurt him, where, you know, you saw some of the deficiencies as far as evading pressure.
And everybody was watching the biggest game, you know, that never helped pressure. You know,
number one defense in college.
But when you watch him throw and got, especially down the field, he gives all the receivers, he gives them a chance. And I know those receivers are really good over there. Like they have 3 legitimate guys that are going to get drafted in the top 3 rounds. I would say Roma Dunze is top 10 pick.
McMillan, I really like him. McMillan's talk about him next
good.
Week.
I mean, Jalen Polk could be a second rounder. You know, it's tough to judge a player when you're looking at his supporting cast. And this we're going to probably talk about this with Jaden Daniels as well, where like you're looking at his supporting cast and it's so fucking good, you know. So do you knock him for that?
Yeah.
You know, guys like Drake May throwing a, you know, one draftable player, maybe 2 draftable players, you know,
and no draftable players on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to weigh it, but you can find examples for both. So you can go back and say, oh, Mac Jones lit it up and look, it didn't work in the NFL. And you look at the surrounding cast, but then you go to Joe Burrow and Joe Burrow's surrounding cast was the best thing you've ever seen. And that's translated.
I think it's the Ohio
State guys and it's the same thing. With great supporting cast and good with it.
It's a really good segue into who I think is my number 6, just based on like upside. but he was so good systematically. I mean, his touchdown to interception ratio was like 15 or something like that. Bo Nix.
I love the tension that you built before revealing his name.
So I really like Bo Nix as far as, I mean, we do this, right? This high floor, low ceiling kind of guy. He's going to be, at worst, a top backup in the league. He's going to be, at best, mid-range quarterback, I would say. He's really good at, like, one single read, balls out, on time, point guard type of thing. I don't see the high upside, you know, like he can create plays on his own kind of thing. But Bo Nix, to me, is probably the safest pick as far as quarterback in this draft. Like, you know, he's going to be on time. He's going to be on target. He's got some good athleticism. I think the arm talent's okay, is pretty good. I think it's above average. Bo Nix, to me, is he's kind of like a Mac Jones on steroids. You know, I hate to do the comparison.
I was going to say, but like, similar to Mac Jones, though.
Yeah, but he's going to be a good player.
That.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I have him as my number five guy, and I'm flirting with J.J. McCarthy just because I'm not, we'll get into it, I'm not super enamored with him. But Bo Nix, the story starts in Auburn. He was one of the top recruits coming out of high school, and it was so god awful.
Jaded. Aren't you jaded from that?
I can't unsee it. And yeah. Offense loves
Auburn too much to get over that.
The offense they had down there was so outdated and did him absolutely no favors. The Oregon offense was perfectly suited for him, and anybody drafting him is going to be able to see that's the type of scheme that he belongs in, which is exactly what you said, right? A spread them out, quick read, ball out of your hands in under 3 seconds.
Yeah, and the mechanics are great. Like,
mechanics you can't are even, great.
Yeah, you can't knock the mechanics.
And he's got an NFL body. He's got plus athleticism. And one of the things that I noticed was in the Pac-12 championship game, he was carrying that team, and they ultimately lost to Washington. Washington was a better team, carrying them. And you could just see how much he cared about it and how much his teammates loved him. And it was just like, okay, he's going to be a good presence around. He's not going to be a prima donna or anything. He's going to work his butt off. But yeah, he doesn't have that next level playmaking. We just talked about Michael Penix being able to make plays 40 yards downfield. Bo Nix is not going to be that guy consistently. So you just have to understand that up front.
I like Bo Nix. I don't want to get like too much on the downside here, but like, you can win with Bo Nix. That's basically what I'm trying to say. Like, maybe not a Super Bowl, but you can win games with Bo Nix.
It's kind of Baker Mayfield-esque.
And there's a lot to like.
Baker was number one that year, though.
For me, the biggest things with him is like, when he's clean,
right,
he's accurate. When he's, you know, his mechanics are always good. He makes good decisions with the ball. You can see that just from the you know, touchdown to interception ratio there. Absolutely out of control. But I just don't see the high upside, you know, like I could take over a game kind of thing.
I mean, he's second rounder, right? For you guys?
He's a second rounder for me.
He's in this draft, he's going in the top 20.
Well, see, you're talking about projection versus value. So
I have a second round grade on him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think he's going to make it.
I mean, if four quarterbacks go in the top 10, then Penix and him could go.
I look at a team like the Broncos, you know, and I think maybe you stay where you are and you take Jared Stidham. Stidham.
Is that one of their starters penciled in right now?
They're at Stidham now. Yeah. Like, there's no way to me he makes it out of the first round. And I think Penix is the same. I think a six quarterback.
I can see Penix going draft. The first round.
I think we're talking about a six quarterback first round draft. I think that's.
Listen to this list of teams that I think could take a quarterback in the first round. The Bears, Commanders, Patriots, been there. Raiders, Vikings, Broncos, obvious ones in the early teens. The Jets, if they trade into the back end of the first round. I think they're too sold on where they're at, but they could use a quarterback. Maybe it's a second round thing. Seahawks.
The Seahawks are a great fit, I think, for Penix.
Yes.
I think that makes the most sense.
Well, he stays home.
Again.
Work behind Geno Smith.
I think they have very similar games.
What's your plan? Yeah. I mean, like, are you focused on the long term? Are you focused on the short term? Some of these things are difficult because these quarterbacks are not young. When we're talking about Bo Nix and Michael Penix, these guys have been in college football for five, six years, 24. But actually, The Beast just came out today. He's got the super accurate ages, which are hard to find for some reason. You can't find ages easily.
Yeah.
You know, which is really frustrating.
Okay. We ready for JJ McCarthy?
So you guys start it.
So he's getting a lot of publicity right now. And I was thinking about it, and one of the reasons would be he just won a national championship game. He basically doesn't have bad film. It's not like, oh, look at all these interceptions he threw.
No,
and he's got tools. Good film either. Yeah, exactly. But there's nothing bad really to point at. And then he's got traits, just like all these top guys do. And then he's got Jim Harbaugh as like the quarterback whisperer sitting back there going, hey, this guy's awesome. So it's all these things that don't relate to producing on the field that are just kind of helping his case in the offseason is what I think. He was highly recruited guy, beat out a bunch. It was a like stacked quarterback room consistently for the Wolverines there. And he was able to win that job as, I believe, a redshirt freshman. And basically just won. He just won a shitload of games out there.
Yeah.
The cause for concern is how limited he performed in that offense. They didn't ask him to do much. He didn't have to do much. Number one defense in the country. Phenomenal running game. Great offensive line. Really good weapons outside. It was like, here's the plan. All you got to do is execute it. I don't need you to do anything special. Now, he did do... There's plenty of film you could find on him evading pressure, getting outside the pocket, delivering on the run, making plays, especially on third downs. So that's definitely something to point to. He's got great arm strength. He's got like a really, he's got a rocket arm. I think he throws it way fucking too hard inside of 10 yards.
Yeah.
He throws BBs on slant passes. Nobody
He's got that Cam Newton. Like, yes, I'm rifling this no matter what. Like, no, just loft it, like just toss it to us. It's okay.
Just take a little bit off it.
Yeah.
But played on the biggest stage, played for a coach that's known to develop quarterbacks, although it hasn't happened at Michigan yet over the last 10 years. It did happen at Stanford. But I just have this nagging feeling that he's not gonna be a playmaker. He's not gonna be a plus in any of those things. And he's just going to kind of be a game manager at best. And I don't know if he has the mentality that like Bo Nix seems. I feel like Bo Nix is going to have the mentality to be okay sitting on the bench and okay just working his tail off. I don't know if McCarthy's going to be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hunch, but yeah. I don't really have anything to go on there.
So,
no,
go ahead.
I mean, I think, you know, the stacked team for him is the tough part for me, because it's like, you know, these other, you see Penix. Yeah, Penix has a stacked team, but he performed very well. He did, you know, did great in for most of his season. So McCarthy, you know, Harbaugh was the big coach. He's the big college coach. Harbaugh's done really well with a lot of different guys at quarterback. And, you know, McCarthy wasn't the focal point of that offense. He didn't need to be, he didn't have to be, and he never kind of took the reins to do it. I mean, I a lot of his throws down the sidelines, that, you know, the biggest things I've, obviously, as all you guys both know, and I'm sure our viewers know at this point, I am not the biggest college football guy. So most of my stuff is based on highlights. I don't go and watch the games. Ryan is watching all the games and has probably seen every game they've played. So he's more of the expert in this field. But since Mac Jones, I watch how guys throw outside the numbers, how far downfield they can throw, where they can put it. And if they can go out the numbers, because a lot of guys can throw over the middle in the NFL, you know, anyways, that's kind of their bread and butter. And he kind of falls into that. And there was a few games where he really didn't have to throw. There's a couple games where he threw what, you know, 10 times, maybe 15 times.
I think he threw once in the second half against Penn State, and that was a top 10 matchup. Right. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and he's got all this around him. What's going to happen when he go, you know, is he going to be bad? No, not necessarily. He might be a successful quarterback. Is he a first round guy? Are you going to spend a top five pick on a potential game manager? That to me is what's tough. And just historically with quarterbacks, and I'll talk about this more as we go through these guys, you know, the ratings after the season to me is the most realistic. It's like, what do these guys do? Unless anything crazy or colossal comes out of the combine, which nobody even does participates in anymore. So there's nothing really there. You know, it's like, who are the two best quarterbacks after the season? It was Caleb Williams and Drake May, as we'll get to. McCarthy wasn't even on the radar for a first rounder. Nobody was talking about him. And you said, alluded to it already, that his agent's doing great. Whatever his agent's doing is he's kicking up a lot of dust. And, you know, now the Patriots are talking about number three. If you can get the guy in the second round, he was, he was a clear second rounder at most right after the season. He just won the national title and he was a second rounder. Nothing has changed. There's been no football played. And now he's a top five guy. And historically, look over the past 20 years, quarterbacks that follow that trend, they're almost always a bust. Guys that go up a round or two based off just speculation is never a good look. And I'm not going to say that that's what's going to happen to him, but, you know, doesn't have a good historical background there.
All right. So here's where I agree with a lot of what you said, JJ. Here's where I end up on JJ McCarthy. All right, this kid, if he stayed in school one more year and had the chance to really open up an offense, we're talking about a top five pick, easy.
If he succeeded in doing that.
If he succeeded in that, I think he would, because he won a state title, I think, in Florida. He is super talented. His footwork, his throwing mechanics are as good as you can find. He's 21 years old. He's got a good arm, I think well above average arm. I love J.J. McCarthy. I have him quarterback three. I have him above Jaden Daniels. And here's why. He can throw any pass on the field. Maybe it's not always, you know, perfect accuracy. He's so young. He's still working on that. You know, he's got good mobility. I think he can move around really well.
He does.
I like him a lot. And I just think that the system he was in didn't ask him to do a lot that was, you know, putting him in the best light to get drafted high.
Sure.
I think he could do those things if you asked him to. And because Michigan is such a run-heavy team. That
lies the question, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's tough because you're talking about a team that run 36 times a game on average at Michigan, and why didn't the quarterback carry the team? And it's like, well, because they had Donovan Edwards and
they didn't need to,
and they didn't need to, and the offensive line is so dominant, you know.
Well, I got a question for you, Ioana. Do you think if Harbaugh saw him, well, Harbaugh wasn't really coaching the games. He was only doing practices, right? But if Harbaugh saw McCarthy lighting it up and making all kinds of crazy throws and, you know, just kicking ass on the practice field, do you think when he got to games, he'd be like, you know what, we're going to do the run first and I just think
that's, you know what I mean? The program's built around run first.
Yes.
It's been that way for a while. And,
yeah,
you know, JJ McCarthy going top five with this resume,
it's crazy,
is not something you can really like justify, right? Like,
right,
he hasn't been asked. I mean, he's throwing like 16, 17 throws a game, you know.
Yeah,
but I like
much.
The fearlessness, I like the arm strength. I wish he would take a little bit off the throws sometimes, play with a little more touch and feel. But for a 21 year old kid, I mean, he's won a national championship and a state title. You know, a lot of that is based on team, you know,
but he's got the traits.
I like his decision making. He's got really good traits, dude. And
he's got the traits to back it up.
And people are knocking his build, you know, where he was 196. You know, they listed him at 196. He came into the combine at 219.
Yeah. He worked his butt off.
So, I mean, this kid is a worker. And if that doesn't show it, then I don't know what does, you know? And
he's got a little,
I have
he's
a
got a little
hard
double
time.
Chin in his combine picture. I don't know if
he
you
does.
See it.
I have a hard time knocking
him. I can't justify.
He's done everything he can.
He's done everything he can. I see that. I see that point. He's definitely going in the first round. He's almost definitely going in the top half of the first round. I have him as an end of the first round, high second round grade. Just to
and that's
line him up.
And that's where I had
like
that's exactly where he should be.
Yeah.
But I think if he went back to school or maybe he was playing on a different team that let him unleash, because you could see the flashes. Whereas like, whoa, you know, that throw was off platform on a dime.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't.
And the footwork is the feel for the pocket. The
footwork in
is,
the pocket is outstanding.
Is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why. Yeah.
I know. He's an interesting prospect.
I'm a fan of his. I'm not necessarily a fan of his with the Patriots at number three. I think that's.
I don't want him at number three. Good God.
That's
if we
crazy
take him
to
at
me.
Number three.
Because we haven't seen it. Like, we need to see it, right?
Yeah.
But you're drafting based on upside, right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's tough.
Let's move on to the next one on our list. Ryan, you just said that you have McCarthy three. I have him four. And the person
I think most
have,
people have him four. I think most people have him four. Yeah.
Next, the person we both have next in line, Jaden Daniels. James, jump in here if you've got a vastly different order. But Jaden Daniels, speaking of being able to see it, we saw all of it in 2023 with LSU.
Finally. Yeah, finally.
Incredible season. Heisman winner, best SEC quarterback season since Joe Burrow. And Jaden Daniels comes over from Arizona State. He spent a number of years there. It was kind of middling. I mentioned before that he checks off all the boxes in the Bill Parcells checklist based on what he did at Arizona State and LSU. And he put it all together this year. They had a phenomenal surrounding cast. They have really good underclassmen on the offensive line. Receivers, they got two high-level first-round receivers out there playing SEC defenses. But if you guys haven't noticed, the SEC is kind of lighting it up recently. It's not the new great defenses are all in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is, and you're still getting crazy high-level talent coming out of the SEC. I'm not going to argue that. But the best defensive units are all in the Big Ten. I think the top four last year were like Michigan, Iowa, Penn State, and Ohio State. And they're all Big Ten teams. So I'm not going to give him as much praise for doing it in the SEC as a lot of people do. But he's got 4.4 speed, 6.4 height. I mean, the throwing is next level. And there are a ton of comparisons to Lamar Jackson, which I think are unfair in the running game. But I would say Jaden Daniels at this point is further along in the passing game without a doubt than Lamar Jackson was when he came out of Louisville.
Yeah.
I worry about he weighed at like 210 at his pro day.
Small. Lamar Jackson was much younger.
Yeah, he only played 3 years. True junior when Lamar Jackson came out. And he was more every time you see Lamar without his pads on, you're like, oh my God, that dude's ripped. Don't have the same feeling about Jaden Daniels. Lamar Jackson had this knack for not getting hit that he still has. He's so much better laterally and has incredible awareness, spatial awareness when he's running around. Jaden Daniels has neither. No lateral.
None.
Like he moves too fast straight ahead to move laterally well. And then he just gets rocked. He gets rocked all the time. And with that frame and without that awareness, I'm
Ryan was
very,
just showing me
worried.
Highlights of him getting absolutely form tackled on a regular
It's once
basis.
A game. It's at least once a game. He gets just knocked
like
off his feet.
Big
he gets
hits.
Decleated.
Like hit sticked. And he's jumping into them.
Yeah.
He's jumping in to a guy that's pressing the hit stick button and smashing him.
Yeah.
When it's all like you do that once in the NFL, that's it.
And that's it.
Right. Like, as a quarterback, so, I mean, maybe twice. Like, how many times? Look at Anthony Richardson, was an absolute moose this year, and they kind of ran him like it. But
yeah,
he was out by what, week three?
Yeah.
He's done for the year.
Yeah.
And this guy's half his size.
That's the big worry about him is whether or not he can stay healthy. Now, the arm skills are there. I do, mm-hmm. you know, you always have to weigh, is he developing or was he just, you know, did he blossom this year because he had so many weapons around him? Or is it just a natural progression of development? And this is actually the prospect that you should expect to see.
Yeah.
I don't know. And we're going to talk about the same things with Drake May.
Yeah.
But I have him above JJ McCarthy because I think he has shown more on tape as a playmaker. Plus but I do have those reservations.
I agree with that. Round. I agree with that as far as like you have shown this, so you should be ahead of McCarthy. I do agree with that. I just like the traits of McCarthy a little bit better. I know Jaden Daniels is very fast. His mobility is A+, you know. There's mm-hmm. there's a lot of things I don't like about him. I don't think his arm talent's fantastic. I don't like the slender build and then the scrambling archetype. Should I say, because that archetype, am I saying archetype right? Is it archetype?
Yeah, I was very impressed to use that word.
Well, I don't like the scrambler first mentality, you know, and that's where I come away with Jaden Daniels is because
100%
those guys don't win. And when you're slender and you take those big hits at the NFL level, you're going to get injured. And the other thing I don't like is the track record of Jaden Daniels. And I know he had a great fucking season. There's no denying that. He's a really talented kid and he should be drafted in the top five, I would say top five, but I had a 6-round grade on him coming into, I think it was even last year, where like he didn't do a fucking thing. He was legitimately like average until this year. You know, and I think he had thrown like 17 touchdowns as a max. And this year he just went bananas and threw 41 or something like that. And had this great, like, is it an outlier? Is it development? Is he there? And for a fifth year guy, he's still pretty young. I think he's 23. So maybe it is, you know, just his development. But I come away with like this feeling of like, you had like ridiculous receivers, you know, but just analyzing the player, I like his arm talent. I think it's good. You know, I don't think it's great. I think JJ McCarthy has better arm talent, to be honest with you. His, you know, mechanics are great. His footwork is great. He gets good distance on the ball. I don't see some of the out routes that I want to see. I don't see him testing the middle of the field, splitting safeties mm-hmm. the way I want to see. I don't see the aggression that I like to see with, like, especially with like Drake May. Like, Drake May is testing the middle of the field way better than Jaden Daniels, you know. So I have concerns. I would be happy if the Patriots took him at 3 and, you know, Drake May was gone. But I still think there's legitimate concerns. The frame, the 6'4", 200 maybe, 210 probably. Maybe.
I thought he was less than 200 playing weight.
Yeah.
Well, he looks so skinny on the field.
It's hard for me. It's also hard for me to watch these guys for three, four years and think like,
this is, know, the guy.
He's not that good. Like, he's getting fucking rocked. He's throwing picks, and then he has this great season, and then James, I have to.
Your turn.
I mean, I think that basically a lot of what Ryan said. I mean, my biggest thing is the way he scrambles. He always, you know, he looks at his first route, and if it's not his first read, if his first read is not there, he puts his head down and runs.
Yep. He is not scrambling the throw.
You back?
Yeah.
Back?
Go.
Did I time out? I don't know where.
Yeah.
You timed out.
You You finished and I took over.
It was James still talking about Jaden Daniels. We are recording. Go for it.
So yeah, three, two, one. So we can cut it out. Anyways, just those guys are wide open. I mean, you're not going to get that in the NFL where your receivers are going to be better than everyone on defense. And that's what worries me a big thing. And, you know, it's like, oh, you can just throw the ball up and they're going to come down with it and you're going to throw 41 touchdowns that way. I will give it to him. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He, you know, just over his career,
well, this
he
year,
didn't throw
this
a lot
year,
of interceptions. Or really, this year. Well, even if you look at his history, it's not nothing bad. There's nothing like where he had double-digit interceptions and a lot of bad, big mistakes. So he doesn't do that, which is great. It's just the talent he had around him and the hits he took, because a couple of those hits in the NFL, if he thinks he can do that, you know, if he thinks he can outrun everybody in the NFL, good luck. And that's, you know, that I think of RG3 when I see him play, because RG3 is a super electric guy.
That's a good comparison.
You know, yeah. RG3 took college football by storm that year. What was it, junior or senior? I can't remember. But was absolutely dominant. And he had a bigger frame than Jaden Daniels does. And his team, the Washington Commanders now, at the time, the Redskins, who Jaden Daniels could be going to, they didn't play him right. They didn't manage his injury. And RG3 is basically done after his first year. And I could see that being a I think RG3 is a better player coming out too. But I could see that being a similar path that Daniels unfortunately takes where, you know, the Anthony Richardson, use him as an athlete, and then he gets crushed. He's not nurtured in the way he needs to be, where, okay, take your time. Let's make sure he gets his reads right. Let's make him a pocket passer. Kind of like the Ravens have tried to do with Lamar, you know. He runs a lot, but they try and bring him back. So
I have mixed feelings. I agree with you. Like, there's a lot of upside there, but how much of it are you going to see at the next level? You know, I don't know. They're not as
the guys
dominant.
Who think
your guys on your team
the guys
when
who
you
think
get picked
faster than the NFL players is just it never works. Never works.
Well, he's got guys that are legitimately way better than the opposition he's throwing to, you know, I have reservations.
You're throwing to 3 first-rounders.
Where I'm like, okay, his footwork's great, his mechanics are really good, you know, the arm talent's pretty good. I don't see the progressions that I want to see. I don't see the velocity I want to see as far as like, I need to make this throw over the middle. And then the other thing I really hate about him, which is the only thing I really hate about him actually, is he gets pressure and it's I'm scrambling. You know,
it's
not an improviser type. He's not moving around to throw the ball. He's moving around because he's running, you know, and as soon as he sees pressure, his eyes go down and he's running, you know, and that's, I just don't like that archetype for me. But, you know, if the Patriots took him at 3, I'd be pretty excited about it because I think he's a really talented guy. And, I think he's got a lot of upside. So
we're getting into the range where we might be talking about the Patriots' future quarterback. Okay, top two, Caleb Williams and Drake May. Does anybody have – I have Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2. Anybody have a different order?
Yeah, I think that's universal.
No, I have Caleb
consensus.
1. Yeah.
Okay. So we got to talk about Drake. some people have him 3rd, 4th. I feel like he's the most polarizing of the – prospects
is,
this
which
year.
I don't understand.
Yes. I don't he get wasn't... it either, but you know, you get some people come out and they got him 2. I think I saw somebody had him 1. Merrill Hodge thinks that maybe hire him to carry the bags, but that's about it. So it's all over the place.
Fucking asshole, dude. Him and Chris Sims are just, you know,
Chris Sims is annoying.
They're fucking trolls. That's what they are. They're like, we didn't see it on tape. Like, you aren't drafting these guys based on what they did. You're drafting them based on what they could be.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're drafting these guys based on what they did in college, good fucking luck to you. You're going to take Bo Nix 1. You know?
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah.
So, Drake May, great measurables. 6'4", 225, is 21 years old. We'll turn 22 by the start of the next season. Has room to bulk out a little bit. Getting a lot of comparisons.
He's already big.
He's big. Yeah. He's getting a lot of comparisons to like Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, who are another level of big. He's not that big.
He's not as tall, right?
He's not as tall as those guys are. Herbert's wide, and Josh Allen's just a fucking huge dude.
Yeah. But I don't see Josh Allen as much as
I don't see it at Herbert. All.
Yeah.
But what I do see is a guy who has the tools that you're looking for, which is a common theme right here. You're not going to be in the first round conversation if you don't have the tools. And he's got the best height, the best stature. I think probably the best chance at durability at the next level. Arm strength, I think, is overrated. I think a lot of people are saying he's got an absolute rocket of an arm. I don't see it on tape. I think he's got a good arm. It's like Joe Burrow type arm. It's not a Mahomes. It's not a Matt Stafford. It's plenty good.
Well within the range.
Well within the range. It's not a noodle. And what it comes down to for a lot of people is the difference. The 2022 tape is fantastic, and he played in an offense that had, I think they had two receivers that were very good, Josh Downs being the highlight. And then they had an offensive coordinator who's known as a very quarterback-friendly, the name escapes me, but he left for the 2023 season. Downs graduates or moves on to the NFL. And May is left with a shitty surrounding cast and a new offensive coordinator, and probably not the best offense to suit his skills. His play regressed a little bit, and people are like, oh, well, the 2022 was a flash in the pan. I don't understand why a great year 2 years ago it means nothing, where a great year last year means everything.
In the reverse, where a shitty season 2 years ago means nothing, and a great season, it's like, oh, well, that doesn't count.
Well, that doesn't count. Okay. Yeah. I don't get how people justify that. But what I really see, and we've mentioned this before on the podcast, is his basketball background. He comes from a sports family. It was a great basketball player. A lot of people thought he could have played at North Carolina as well, which is insane, incredible program. He just has an awareness. We've been talking about awareness a couple of times. I brought it up, but he's got a field awareness, and he knows how to find his guys. It's you know, Mahomes has it. I don't want to compare him to Mahomes, but there are these like skills that you'll see on certain people that remind you. And he's got that. He's got that, the feel for where the guys are around him. He was constantly under pressure. I mean, you don't have to look far to find pressure tape for him. His team was garbage, which is surprising, because North Carolina usually has one of the top recruiting classes in the country. And he produced enough. You see it on film. Merrill Hodge said his NC State film was the worst film he's ever seen for a top quarterback prospect.
You fucking asshole.
I watched the whole game. I was like, this is fine. This is totally fine. I mean,
it's not like he was throwing pick sixes left and right.
There was one really bad interception. One really bad interception. And the guy was running a crossing route, and he broke it off at 12 yards, and maybe he was supposed to run a post. I don't know. But that was really it. He was under pressure the entire game. They got way behind on NC State, so the team was playing shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like he has playmaking ability. He's got stature for durability. He's got arm talent. And from everything you hear about him, the kid is a gamer. He's a guy that his teammates rally around. He brings energy. And I really do think there's something from coming from a family where his dad was a quarterback, his brother played. He's a really good basketball player at UNC. His other brother is a quarterback. So he's the youngest one. He's Chandler Jones of this family.
He's got three brothers. All right. I think the oldest one was the National Player of the Year at Luke May at North Carolina.
Basketball player.
He's got another brother that played at UNC basketball, which is honestly like that's not a small feat to play at UNC, even if you're like not even playing. Like, that's incredible to play at UNC. And then he's got another brother that was a relief pitcher for Florida that won the national title, relief pitcher. So this is a kid that to me has everything you could possibly want from a franchise quarterback. Got really good arm talent, athleticism, can make every throw, and he's put it on tape already. And he led the league, he led all of college football as a redshirt freshman in total yards. So, you know, you want to knock him for not having a great sophomore season, redshirt sophomore season. Go ahead. You want to knock him down to number six. This kid has done everything he possibly could to carry that team, and including some plays where he's trying to play hero ball and trying to throw some throws that were not there. And yeah. Honestly, some really bad interceptions came out of that. And I can see why that would knock him down a little bit. Like, some of the interceptions he threw were really bad. And I think there is some bust potential there. But if you're drafting on upside, which you should be, if you're talking about quarterback, this kid has everything. I mean, he's throwing left-handed tosses, you know?
That's what I mean. He just has a really good feel.
He's a football player.
His footwork isn't always great in the pocket. I think I think he's expecting pressure a lot, and he's a little bit nervous.
He's always on the run.
He's a little bit nervous. You know, he doesn't have a ton of open guys. But when you see the athleticism and the projectable things, I mean, this guy will attack the middle of the field like no one else in this class. And it's not even close. And I think even Caleb Williams, like, it's not even close. So I love the player. I love a lot of things about him. The accuracy, that sometimes he takes stuff off, he puts some touch on the ball, he's fading away. Mm. He's a real improviser. Like, he can move and throw accurately. You saw that throw against Clemson. And people are saying, oh, he's fucking terrible against Clemson. He had three guys on him. He's throwing backwards. He's running backwards. He throws a dime to
off his back foot.
Des Walker. This kid can just flick his wrist and throw touchdowns.
And there's every throw on tape
you could see. I think I would take him number one in almost every draft of the last 5 years, and you know, I'll let the chips fall where they may. This year just happens to be Caleb Williams there, which is, like, you know, we'll talk about him in a minute, but I love Drake May, and I would take him number two, number three with my eyes closed, and let him sit and develop, because he's very young and I think he does have bust potential. If you let him just learn for a little bit, I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think he seems like the most complete quarterback in my mind. I mean, based on everyone's tone here, I think he's the guy we're all kind of gunning for as the Patriots pick. You know, Mayo kind of downplayed it. Oh, well, you know, which is good. Maybe trying not to show their cards that they want him. Maybe trying to get the draft stock up on JJ McCarthy to, you know, figure out a trade or something. We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, he's got the prototypical ideal quarterback frame. You know, he's got the size.
It's the best in class by a mile, his size.
Yeah, he's got the, you know, he's athletic enough, as you guys have said, and you can watch on tape. He moves around fluidly enough. He's not a run-first guy. He is looking to throw, and he's dealt with pressure. He's used to being chased after and making off-balance throws, which has hurt him, in, as you see in some games. But in my mind, from the throwing that I saw from, you know, all the highlights I watched, he can make the throws. He's the one that could make NFL throws, and it's really because he was forced to. He didn't have the time to develop to get guys 50 yards down the field all the time and just air it out. He had to make 10-yard outs and slants and in cuts. And, you know, a lot of throws, short throws, 10, 15 yards over the middle. One of the hardest throws in the NFL is 10 to 20 yards on the sidelines, you know, between the numbers and the sidelines. And he can make those throws. It was tough for me to find a lot of highlights on any of these other guys making those throws on a consistent basis. And he had to get rid of the ball quick just because he had guys coming after him. None of his receivers or anyone to talk about that he was throwing to, a lot of, you know, some of his numbers too. Oh, well, you know, his numbers aren't as good this year. A lot of the throws you watch are bouncing off guys' hands, guys in the shoulder pads, just not coming down with the ball. It's like, you can't fault the quarterback if the guy can't catch the fucking ball. So he seems like, you know, he seems like he's got it. He's watching the tape. It's tough to judge him because, you know, I'd say the one knock on him is, well, you know, he didn't elevate the team. This team was so bad at times. Well, would they have been better? Was it something he was doing? It's tough to say that, you know, without being there, who would know without inside information? I feel like that can be his only legitimate knock, is why didn't he elevate this team for everyone to play better? But maybe he did. Maybe that was him. The team was so bad that he did elevate them. And that was a result of just such bad talent on his team that he couldn't get them to be anything better than, you know, that was as good as he could elevate them, which is,
yeah,
I'll take it. I'll take it. That's who I'm going for.
I love the out of structure stuff. To me, that's like the differentiating factor, the out of structure, because he's almost never in fucking structure with this offensive line, you know?
Yeah.
To be able to roll out and some of the plays he made, even with his feet, trying to hurdle guys, you know, there's multiple, you know, there's great pictures of him trying to hurdle guys. Very capable and mobile for a guy that big.
Yeah,
100%. a little bit young Ben Roethlisberger.
He's got better wheels than him.
But do you see it? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, as far as mobility,
I can see. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of the comparison to Josh Allen. When he was a rookie, he was, the first thing that he did well was run the ball. I don't know if Drake May is going to have to come in that way, because it's an easier transition from the ACC than from Wyoming. One note, I heard this on Phil Perry's podcast, talking about a stat that Pro Football Focus puts out. It's called wins above average, and they do wins above average. It is like basically
the war of baseball.
Yeah. And so it's saying how good your surrounding cast was. So they did this for 2 years, the previous 2 years for the top quarterbacks. And the number one surrounding cast was Bo Nix. Number two, J.J. McCarthy. Number three, Caleb Williams. And then I think it was Penix after that. And, oh, no, it was Daniels and then Penix. And then Bone, I mean,
that far. Yeah.
Drake May had a negative. His surrounding cast was below average across 120.
He was bad, dude.
120 NCAA, Division I NCAA programs, which includes UMass. So they were below average, and all these other guys were surrounded by stellar casts. Just another thing to put in this cap. Okay, Caleb Williams, we got to wrap up soon here. Caleb Williams, basically this comes down to, he has elite playmaking potential. He has next level, top three quarterback in the NFL playmaking potential. And
he could be the top quarterback in the NFL, honestly. If he can get his flaws together, stop fumbling like crazy. I mean, he's got some obvious flaws to his game, but his awareness of where everybody is on the field, I don't know if I've ever seen that before from a kid coming out. Like, as far as improvisational skills, arm talent, where he could just flick his wrist and hit a guy across the field.
Yeah, his arm's on the money. Huge. He's got
during
arm talent
during their route, like, it's really rare air we're getting into with Caleb Williams. And I wanted to put Drake May higher. You watch Caleb Williams play, and it's like, this is unbelievable. Like, he had some bad games where he tried to do too much. You know, I don't think it was a particularly good USC team this year.
Not nearly as good as last year.
But the accuracy and touch when he knows what's going on is, I mean, it's the thing.
That's what you're talking about. You know? He's got the highest ceiling. He's got the highest playmaking ability. He does have those big flaws where he didn't play good in big games this season. And he fumbled, I think, in the teens. I think it was like 14 fumbles or something this year.
Really? You
worry about that. He extends
The fumbles are bad. Yeah.
Yeah. He extends plays a lot. He's actually really good at extending plays, but he holds onto the ball so long because he's trying to make such a big play that it ends up going negative on him sometimes. But
didn't you feel like, why didn't you just take the first read on a lot of plays?
So many times, but you don't know how he's being coached. You don't know what they're telling him. But the ceiling's so high, the floor could be pretty low. It honestly could be pretty low, but
right.
It's worth it.
It is worth it.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's the consensus number one. I didn't go through a ton of stuff just because he is the consensus number one since college football season. I mean, my biggest knock on him, which is probably universal here, is just what seems to be his makeup, his attitude, the way he handles himself. That's what scares me with him.
I'm very
careful. There's a lot of stuff he,
yeah.
Well, you know, during the season, he really, you know, since the whole draft process, he didn't go to the combine, which, as we've said a few times, is no longer a thing. That used to be a big thing, but whatever. But just during the season, he, you know, stuff he would mention about money and I'm going to choose where I want to go. He got, you know, it seemed like he was extremely overconfident in certain areas of and how he would say things. And to make it in the NFL, you have to have a little bit of, especially a quarterback, you're the face of a franchise. So, you know, who you're being hired by is going to have some stuff to say to you about how you present yourself. And that it seems like there's some immaturity there. And yeah, that's easy. You know, certain players work that out. No problem. Doesn't affect their career at all. Just the stuff he was saying. Oh, I want anyone who wants to draft me. I want ownership. I'm getting paid right now. I don't give a shit about, you know.
I think he did say he never said that. He said
it was
that
his dad who said that.
It was somebody else said it. Yeah, it wasn't him. Maybe it got such a bad backlash he backed off of it. I don't know.
But just things like that, you know, he jumped in the stands after a bad loss and cried in his mom's shoulder. I know that's not a big deal, but it's also like, is that the look you want? We just had Mac Jones, but, you know, we saw what the emotional quarterback looks like. You don't really want someone that shows their emotion that much at quarterback. You need a level head when it's 4th and 10 and the game's on the line. You don't want someone that's going to fly off the handle and start bawling their eyes out. You want someone that's laser focused. Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes, killer instinct. I'm going to get this. I'm not going to cry about it when I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my knock on him. It's the makeup. Does he have it? He might have it. He might just be young. I don't know. I don't know enough about him to say he does or doesn't.
My biggest concern with him is the, I guess, I don't know what the word is, but aptitude, I guess, for him to try to make plays out of structure when he doesn't need to. For him to kind of force throws when he doesn't need to.
For him to take
the check down. Like, I don't see a lot of him taking the check down. And that's the big thing for me. Like, he wants to hit the home run play, like, all the time. And it's too much.
And it's,
you know,
I mean,
and
it's not going to happen in the NFL.
Right. And all the talent is there. Like, I don't think that there's any kind of limitations as far as talent there. And that's, to me, like, you can't get a better player. He's not going to really be a scrambler. He's not going to gain yards with his feet. He is moving around to throw the ball. You know, that's what he wants to do. And very kind of polar opposite of Jaden Daniels there. I just think he's a really special talent. And I love Drake May so much. I wanted to put him number one, but I couldn't, because when I watch this guy play, it's just a different kind of talent. Like, this guy could be the best player in the NFL. If he got his mind right, he could be, I think, like Mahomes level.
The guy, right.
You know, like,
he's got that.
Which is saying a lot. I mean, like you said, right? You don't get that prospect every year. You might not get that prospect every 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, no one knew Pat Mahomes was that prospect.
I don't care if you have Justin Fields.
So,
yeah,
it's not every year you see this dude. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
That's one part of the draft.
Oh boy.
He's back.
We lost 3 hours. He's here. He's here. I was talking about the Ernie Adams episode on Julian Edelman's podcast.
Dude, the Julian Edelman podcast is amazing.
It's so good. I couldn't believe
he had Ty Law on the other day, too. It was fucking awesome. They were getting drunk on the podcast. Oh my God.
Julian's right good, dude. He's a good host.
He's a really good host, and Ernie Adams is a phenomenal guest. He was so funny, knowledgeable, just had stories about everybody.
I gave the idea to Friday Night Lights in 1967 to blah blah blah. It's like what?
Yeah, right. He's too good, and we haven't heard him speak ever. And so to hear him speak for 33 hours was so great. So highly recommend that for any of the listeners. Okay, let's wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. Please again remember to like and subscribe, rate and review. Appreciate you all supporting us. We are so excited for draft season. Only 2 weeks away until we get to the big night. And we got more prospects to talk about next week, mock draft the week after, and then it's showtime. How about that?
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See you.
Adios.